Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Welcome everyone. It's a privilege to be in front again. For me, and for those, I think everyone knows me, but I'm Maria, if you don't know me. So, welcome. I'm really excited to share tonight on what God laid on my heart. And I really felt that God is busy in our congregation to remove roots that stand in between us and a healthy relationship with Jesus. And tonight we're going to address one of those roots. Okay, so I'm just very excited. So before I start and I pray for us, I want us just to take 30 seconds and just ask God to show you tonight specifically what He wants to share with you. The words, the phrase maybe, the specific part that He wants to show tonight to you that you must go and work on or repent or whatever it may be. At the end, we want to pray together and we want to turn to each other and want to pray with one another. So I want us then to take out those things that God revealed to you tonight. Amen. So let's just take a minute and just stand it onself beskikbaar vir wat die Here wil doen, hè? Amen. Jesus, we just want to lay this time at your feet, Lord. And we want to thank you tonight, Lord, that you are a personal, intimate God that wants to grow us, that wants to lead us specifically. Now, Lord, we pray that you show us tonight those specific things, Lord, you want us to lay down. You want us to let go of the things that need to fall away. The walls that we build between us and you. And we thank you, Lord, that you never stop growing us. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight, our sermon title is A Chasing After the Wind, which is quite interesting. It's quite in contrast with what we are busy with. And in Ecclesiastes, it says a few times that it's a chasing after the wind. The writer of Ecclesiastes is saying that he's tested everything under the sun and only the things that is for God lasts. The rest is a chasing after the wind, and it can be, if we look at it at a sermon title, Chasing After the Wind, like I said, be a bit in contrast with what we are busy with tonight. We are hearing the good news. We are ready to go and proclaim the gospel. Doesn't sound like a chasing after the wind to me. Or what should I say? It sounds like I should say chasing after the eternal life. Or a chase with Jesus. But there's something funny in that phrase. If I say a chasing with Jesus. Of a gejaag, so met Jesus. What's the funny part? Is it Jesus? Or is it the chasing? Can be the chasing. So if I ask you tonight, what is your biggest spiritual challenge for your growth in Jesus, what would you say? What would you say? Would you say it's your children? Most of us don't have children here, Maybe it's relationships. Nah, or work. There's no shutdown. It was shutdown. It's very tough. Can't grow. And if I say maybe it's a hurried life. When I made a list of things that was a spiritual battle for me, the hurried life wasn't something that came up to me. It's quite interesting. Dallas Willard, he did a very big survey on 20,000 Christians. And they came that the hurry is the spiritual enemy of our day. That is very interesting. Like I said, when I made a list, this wasn't something that came up. I'm busy. Nee? What do we say when soos vrou gaan het? How are you? No, great. But I'm busy. It's a good thing. And today, yeah, we just want to look at things. And maybe take things apart. And I want to add to something that Danny shared 3 or 4 weeks ago when he spoke about In His Light, when he spoke about our ministry. He didn't say, what Danny said is, it's not that we have a ministry or not, but how does your ministry look like? Amen. Each of us has a ministry. How does it look like? And he also mentioned and he used an example of us walking in a room. And if we walk into a room or the workplace or a wedding or wherever you may find yourself, you are the one that's supposed to bring the light, to bring the good news, to bring the truth in a place. And sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we are not focused. And then we want, which is also good, but spend time with God and then ask Him, how should my ministry look like? And worship Him but we miss Him sometimes. And this world, He leads us and He learns us that we need to work and retire at 35, Who's on that train? I was on that train, And when you need to retire at 35, you need to be very busy. Now you must gather. You must go into fifth gear and you must hit petrol and you must leave it. Because at 35 we need to retire. And that's what the world learns us. So it will take some transformation of our minds to win this. Like 2 Corinthians says, to be in the will of God. So I want to read us a part out of Matthew 16 from verse 5. And then we'll dig into it. So Matthew 16 from verse 5. When the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring any bread. And Jesus said to them, watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they began discussing it among themselves, saying, we brought no bread. But Jesus, aware of this, said, oh, you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive, do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets you gathered? How is it that you fail to understand that I did not speak about bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And I specifically received this scripture when I prepared for the sermon. And at first I actually thought we're going to preach about false teaching, something like that. And God showed me something very different. He showed me that, tonight we should focus on this misunderstanding of the disciples. And don't get tricked by this. We are not Jesus in this passage. We are the disciples. Amen. we must understand. And we want to focus tonight and ask the question, why did they misunderstand Jesus? Because the whole time they were with him. How could they miss him? They saw that he broke the bread and multiplied the bread. They saw this. They experienced him. How could they miss it? In Mark, it actually said in this same story of Mark, in Mark 8, from verse 14, it says that Jesus asked them, "Are your hearts hardened?" And I think when we go and speak to someone and I will tell them something like, "How is it that you fail to understand what I'm saying to you?" It's quite harsh words. In Afrikaans said it, "Hoe is jy so traag van begrip?" Dis wild. It's hard words that Jesus is saying to his disciples. And remember, we are the disciples, yeah, no? So you want to look at the first part of why the disciples is misunderstanding Jesus here. And the first thing that Jesus says is, "You of little faith, nay? Oh, you of little faith." And doesn't it all start there? Now, when we lack faith in God, when we don't surrender things fully, just as the song we sang, "Let It Fall Away," we hold on to those things because we don't trust God with the things. We have little faith. And then what happens? We remove our eyes from Jesus. And then we worry. And we get anxious because we cannot do it. James 2 says, "You don't know what tomorrow will bring." You do not know what tomorrow will bring. And this is exactly the opposite of a life of worship. What is a life of worship? A life of worship is when we take the things that is from us, from this world, and we surrender it and we look to Jesus. And when we have little faith, we take these things and we take our focus from Jesus to us, to what I can do. Check out what I can do. How really fast, check it. We like to do this. We like to sort out our own lives. We like to get in our cars. We have a lot of money on our cards. We go to Spar and we buy a lot of bread. Just like the disciples. Because we don't like to wait. And it's just an example. But we don't like to wait for God's timing. We want to do it now. Just like the disciples. They were hungry probably. They're like, "Okay, let's go buy bread." And it's not a bad thing to go and buy bread, in essence. But it's bad to miss what God is doing. It's bad to take hold of things that he wants us to let go of. So the second thing, why did the disciples misunderstand Jesus, is their focus was on the next thing. So their focus was on their hunger, maybe. And what do we focus on? As we sit here, we tend to think on what's going to happen this week, what's going to happen tonight, what are we going to eat? Ons Burger King koop. We tend to think like that. We're doctrinated. Think of the next thing so that I can sort it out. And we struggle to be in this moment. And what the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to us in this moment, And this is where that example that I mentioned in the beginning is so powerful. We miss what the Holy Spirit is busy doing now in this room. Because we tend to think on what's going to happen. And we miss our ministry, in fact. We miss what Jesus is busy doing. And I want to use a vivid example tonight of what happened to me last week. And it's vivid to me. It's not that vivid to God. I think he's like, jy moes gehoor van wees. But I wanna share with you what happened. So it was about midnight. It was just after midnight, and our doorbell rang. So this was very weird. And this doorbell is so loud. I'm cold. And adrenaline is rushing, and I'm not sure what's happening. And I just want to kick the guy that ran the doorbell. So I'm there out, and when I opened the door, there was someone with a flashlight in my face and a car in the yard with blue lights. So you know what this means, né? And I obviously saw then it was a policeman. At midnight, it's not a nice thing to see. there's a lot of things rushing through your head. My car is probably stolen. My trailer was standing in front of my yard. It's probably gone. And the gate is wide open. And all that he said is, hello, we just drove by and saw your gate is open. Did you leave it open because they stole some gate motors last week? I'm like, yes, sorry, great. I'll close it, don't worry. This is all what I can create. Eh? And I'm like, thanks a lot. Close the gate, go to bed. And when I got in bed, I felt the Holy Spirit told me, why didn't you pray for them? I'm like, why didn't I pray for them? I'm like, this is the perfect opportunity. It's the police of our city. I mean, what a great privilege to be able to pray to them. And they're good hearts. I mean, they stopped just concerned about my gate. I'm like, thanks. Nah. And I missed it completely because I was thinking of the next thing. I was thinking of where's my car, where's my trailer, you know. And it's a vivid example, like I said. And I'm sure there's grace for me. But this is what happens in our lives. And this is what happens at work. This is what happens everywhere if we are not really focused to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Amen. So we want to move from focusing on the next thing to focus on the right thing. And I want to read us a scripture from Matthew 11, from verse 28. And I'm sure you've heard of it, but I want to read it tonight slowly. And I want us really to focus on what Jesus is saying here. Okay. So it says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's such an awesome thing that Jesus is giving us in this three verses. Why do we focus on the next thing if it's so easy to give it to Jesus? We take responsibility that is not ours. We want to take things. We are good at that. We want to sort it out. And we struggle to surrender fully. We struggle to surrender fully. It's almost just, I want to give it, but I don't want to give it. Let go. We must learn to leave the things that Jesus wants to help us with. Amen. And he doesn't say here that you can relax and sit back. He said that my burden is light. It means that you will have things to do, but it will be light. It will be great. It will be fun to minister. Yeah? To work on your ministry in a way that Jesus wants you to live it. It will be fun. Yeah? There's a saying that says, the more time you spend with God, the more you get done. Yeah? Because our God is almighty. Yeah? And if we give him things, he sorts it out. He created the universe. He can sort out your problems. He can. He's the only one worthy of sorting out your problems. So let go. And I want you to write down there if there's things coming up in your mind. I want you to let it go. If we pray at the end, let it go. So how do we do the right thing instead of the next thing? First thing is let go. Now, the second thing, which is our first point, is to be present in the moment. To be present in the moment. How difficult is that for us in the 21st century? I don't have my phone with me, but what do? It's big here on my screen. Leave your phone. How can I be present in this moment? Go and take a walk, but leave your phone. Spend time with your friends. Leave your phone. And you can spend time, and I don't mean you have to throw away your phone. There's important things you have to do on it. But ask the Holy Spirit, like, when is the right time, to leave my phone and be present, and start by doing it once a day for a small time, not the whole day. Amen. Who've heard the phrase that I should give my future to God? And we are focusing on being present in this moment. We've heard the phrase that I should give my future to God. And it's a good thing. We should give our future to God. But we don't know. We cannot control our futures. So in a way, it's easy. To say, God, I have my future. Please help me. But it's difficult to say, Lord, take my present. Because this I can control. This I can deal with. So a prayer for us that we can do more often is to say, Lord, take my present. Take this time and lead me now. I'll leave with whatever I am busy with, but I will do what you say. Amen. Be present in this moment. Our second point, doing the right thing instead of the next, is we cannot live a rushed life and bear fruit of the Spirit. And yeah, we can fill in a lot of things. We cannot live a rushed life and follow Jesus fully. We cannot live a rushed life and be in the will of God. But it's true. Have you ever seen someone you maybe minister to you that's busy or hasty or in a hurry? Almost looks like they are dancing. And looking on their phones all the time. And these days you can get notifications on your watch. Have you seen that? Someone speaking to you, checking. It breaks connection, It breaks connection. And there's a saying that says, if the devil can't make you sin, he will make you busy. It has the same effect. And that's hard to think. Sin and busyness has the same effect on our relationship with Jesus. It takes away the connection between us and God. Because we are busy, we are focused on the next thing. It takes away our relationships with people. Because we are too busy to take time to spend with them, to speak to them, to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal things to you. You're too busy to listen to the Holy Spirit. Because there's something, a notification, something that I need to attend to. And the problem is not that we have a lot to do. I'm sure Jesus had a lot to do. He was a busy guy. But the problem is we have too much to do. And we sign up for too much things. And the only way we can cram all of these things in is to make a lot of rushness in your life. Is to be rushed. Like I said, to go into fifth gear and to go full speed. to rush conversations, rush our quiet time. This is convicting for all of us. Don't worry. A life of rushed, of a rushed life simply is not meant for someone who follows Jesus. There's an example, Vian shared it some time back, where there was a few guys and they go and pray on mountains for a week, something very rough like that. And they just take water with and maybe a pillow or something. And then they go and pray for a week. And there was this specific incident where someone went with them and they were only going to pray for one night. And he was like, what are we going to do for the whole night? And this one guy turned to him and said, you have a problem. You are rushed and God is not. Eh? You have a problem. You are rushed and God is not rushed. God has a lot of time. And we see these examples when we look at Jesus. He prayed and the disciples went to sleep. And he came back and they slept. And he went to pray again. And I'm not saying get up at one and pray, everyone. But I'm saying that we are doctrined to rush things. And we will need transformation of our minds to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Okay, and to come back to the fruit of the Spirit, like that point said, I don't know if you have ever been late for a meeting, and for me, I have a wife, for you that has wives. if I am late for a meeting and she asks me to do things, I don't feel as if I have the fruit of the Spirit at all. You know, and if you can maybe pull this line into people around you, the closest people around you, if you are late, Just take a moment next time and see how do you act around them when you are in a hurry. It does not fit to being to the fruit of the Spirit. And that's why they say that you need to walk with Jesus and not run with him. We didn't read somewhere in the Bible that Jesus went quickly to Jerusalem and he ran. Nay. Yeah, and I wanna end off for us. I wanna use some examples. The world really lends us around every corner that you need to go fast. You need to go very fast. And this sermon and this that you heard tonight, it will last for a while. But if we don't implement this, it will go in and it will go out. And it's true. It's true for every one of us because the world will learn you to go fast. You will hear this every day. If someone has a low IQ, we say they are slow. if we have bad service at the restaurant, what do we say? We say that they are slow. And we need to go fast. And we need to go really fast. So we really need to ask God to renew our minds, to transform our minds constantly. Né? This is a constant thing. Time with God. Practice to slow down. Take those moments. If you feel in any way in this sermon that you have practical things that you want to implement, to slow down, write them down. Write them down. It's important. Take them to Jesus. If you have things that you feel that you're struggling to let go because you struggle to have faith, pray to God. Tell him, Lord, I'm struggling to give this to you. And because I'm clinging, I want to sort this out. Write it down. Stand with me and then we'll pray and then we'll end off. And I'm going to give us chance to to pray for one another, and I'm going to read us some things, and if there's something that you wrote down tonight, let's pray with that for that. Yeah. So yeah, let's pray. Yeah, Jesus, we thank you that you are so personal, Lord. That you know each of our hearts. That you know the exact thing that we need to let go of. You know the specific thing, the specific area where we need to slow down. Yeah, Lord, and we just show, we ask you that, that you will show us, Lord. We want to repent, Lord. It's like that song that says, your loving kindness leads us to repentance. Thank you for your kindness, Lord, for your goodness that leads to our sanctification, Lord. And like Vian shared, if for that person that's aware of this thing but they're struggling to let go, if that's you tonight, let go. Sê vir Jesus hierso. Jesus, ons gee dit vir u. We give it to you, Lord. Lord, and when we pray, help us to wait for you to answer, Lord. Help us to wait, Lord, that you reveal things to us, Lord. If you feel tonight that you are maybe blind in some area where you are rushing things, remember that thing, remember that area. Turn to someone, pray with someone. Struggle to surrender if you struggle to have faith in a specific area. Let's pray with someone. James says, the prayer of a righteous has a strong effect. Our Lord, and thank you, Lord, that all of these things comes from you, Lord. In Jesus' name.